What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fade Hour, episode 27. I'm your host, as usual, the Golden Voice Maul. You know, I go by Bruising Boxing. I'm about to crack open me a barley wine. And tonight, you know, as live, you know, we're going live as usual. We're going to touch on Portis versus Ugas. We're going to just kind of debate and give our thoughts on that fight. We'll also touch on Bivol versus Joe Smith as well, and some interesting developments regarding Tank Davis that, you know, we'll talk about that as well. Before I go any further, as usual, I want to go ahead and pass it around to my band of the Misfits and let them introduce themselves.
What up, world? This your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Got a little bit of cookie dough on the left, got a little bit of Platinum OG on the right. What that makes is a good night. Y'all know how I do it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke. I got Pink Lemonade and I got Dark Side of the Moon, but no rhymes. Water, let's get to it.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? It's Pascal, the New England representative. And as I'm finishing up my spinach ziti and turkey meatballs, you know what I'm saying? I also got my, you know, my glass of Merlot next to me. So let's get to it.
Bad, everybody, man. Again, thank y'all for tuning in. And first, let's definitely start off with a warm-up topic with Joe Smith and Bivol. Bivol, who's returning to the ring after his win over Pascal to retain his belt in November, 12-round decision. And yeah, we got Joe Smith, who, you know, who came to fame was knocking the hell out of Fonfara. And then, you know, he retired Bernard Hopkins, but since then he suffered a loss to Sullivan Barrera, where he, in a lot of people's opinion, got blanketed, and then he knocked out some Melvin Russell in one round way back in June last year. But you know, I just want to go ahead and get y'all opinion on this fight. Is this something that could be interesting, or do you guys see it as a one-way street for Bivol? And also kind of what's next for Bivol when it comes to the belt that he holds in the 175 division?
I'll speak on this. I mean, it's an interesting fight for a couple of reasons, because Bivol, I mean, even though he's a champion, he only has 15 fights, you know, so he still has the inexperience factor on there. And his last couple of fights, he hasn't looked all that great. Actually, he hasn't really looked that great since the Barrera fight. And then you have Joe Smith Jr., who, although, you know, is a caveman in the boxing, has caveman power, you know, can end the fight with one shot. So it's going to be interesting to see if Bivol had time to really correct some of his mistakes, or is he going to really taste Joe's power, you know, throughout the fight, or get knocked out. This is the fight where I think Bivol should actually show a level over Joe Smith Jr. and should win, but don't count Joe Smith Jr. out.
Yo, so Pat, are you going to be there for the fight?
I most certainly am. My man Smoke. Yes, I will be there, media table. I mean, you see a big 6'3", you know, black man with an afro wearing a peacoat, you know, whatever, man. You know, I'm very approachable, even though my demeanor is that of a titan, man. You know, come, you know, come holler at me, say hello, give me some dap or whatever, man. But I'll be there.
Yeah, so that's dope. Salute to Pat for that. I think that this is actually a real risky fight for Bivol, because if you look at Bivol's last couple fights, yeah, he might have won big on the scorecards, but if you look at the rounds and how the fight actually went, like, he got hit a lot, but just by dudes that don't have a lot of power. And so if he lets his defense slip for even, like, you know, a few times in the fight, Joe Smith will end that shit. I mean, you know, he almost ended the fight with Barrera in the first round. So I'm giving Joe Smith an 40% upset chance.
40% upset chance.
I would bet 40 fuckery dollars on him winning by knockout.
Yeah, Joe Smith should not lose by decision. If he wins the Super Bowl, then Bivol really needs to come back to the drawing board.
Y'all gonna have to put some respect on Bivol's name. Y'all gonna put some respect on Beav's name, man. How many times does Beav have to go out here, beat somebody, retain his title? Y'all at the end of the day say, "Oh, he didn't do what I wanted him to do. He didn't knock him out. Nah. He didn't get nothing happen to Beavs." That's what's gonna happen this weekend. He's gonna go out here, get rid of Joe Smith Jr., and we're gonna talk about how better Beav or Kovalev can beat Beavs when they can't.
Well, so here's the thing. I mean,
it is what it is.
Kovalev had his first difficult fight since he became the Crusher against Chalemba, right? And so, correct me if I'm wrong, Bivol recently had a difficult fight against Chalemba, despite how the cards went. So, I'm just saying, like, he has a lot of stuff that, yeah, put the respect on his name for having a championship 15 fights into his career, but he has a lot of stuff that a left hook could really end.
Well, that left hook is not coming from Joe Smith Jr.
But that's the thing.
Listen, man, that man got to work. He got to work Friday.
Well, so that's the thing, man. He got a chip on his shoulder forever. And man, I know that because Andre Fonfara was riding a hype train. He was on NBC, and I was there. Joe Smith, with one punch, knocked him the fuck out. He didn't knock him the fuck out with one punch, but with one or two punches, he had him on a place he's never been before.
Yeah, he was gone.
That was Fonfara. That wasn't Beavs, yeah, man.
Yep, that was Father's Day weekend, man. But what are y'all actual prediction for the fight? Not what it could do or what could happen, but what will be the outcome?
I mean, I think that Bivol should probably win a decision. I don't think he'll stop Joe Smith. I think Bivol will win a decision over him. A competitive decision. Excuse me. My bad.
Yo, that is Pat's new calling card.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead, Smoke. My apology.
Nah. You don't never need to apologize to me, Mal. You the golden voice, son. So I think that Bivol will win a. I don't want to say a competitive decision. But Joe Smith will either knock him down or buzz him a few times in the fight, and Bivol will comfortably cruise to a decision.
Right.
After he gets rocked.
I have Bivol winning clearly, wildly, uncontested. All the other dominant words that you can think of. I have a clear victory happening for the Beavs. Like I said, I'll just be here to discuss about who's next, who else can beat him, what he didn't do, what everything that we said it was going to be done, he didn't get done. That's why I'll be waiting for it, because at the end of the day, man, I just believe in Beavs, man. We just watching him. We watching him on his way to greatness.
Let me ask you a question. We watching him live.
Like, he's only had, like you said, 15 fights. We're watching them. Usually, how many do Kovalev have again?
30.
You know what I mean? Like, we watching Beavs grow up in our eyes, man.
So, let me ask you a question. Is there a particular fight that made you a believer in him, or is it just more so the skill set that he displays? That
the skill set.
That much better than everybody else in the division. I don't know if you think he's that much better than everybody in the division, but
no, not everybody.
Because you kind of clearly have him. I don't know if you do have him clearly number one, but it seems that you've established that at 175, talent-wise, you think he's the best.
I can't say his name, but you know I never go against the Ukraine.
Yeah. Oh, so I was going to say. Yeah.
You know I'm going against him. But before he got on the scene, I had Bivol, so I can't turn my back on Bivol. So that's why I would say I have Bivol beating Kovalev and better be Gvozdik, you know.
Now with the Kovalev thing, you know, like I said, now that we kind of segue a little bit into 175, where is his place in the pecking order? Because we saw we did Alvarez. Like, did he Did he elevate himself back into the top four? Is he still in the five looking in? Because we still got Marcus Brown out there too.
So this is where I'm going to put Kovalev. And I say this because I want to discuss another fighter at 175. I think that Kovalev is still on the he's number four. I think Marcus Brown with a good fight before Kovalev could beat him. I think Beterbiev could beat him, but that's only because I think Beterbiev would knock him out. All that being said, the other fighter I want to discuss is Beterbiev. So everyone in this chat knows that I'm a huge fan of Artur Beterbiev, but he's fought what? He fought Callum Johnson, what, like 6 months ago?
Right.
5 months ago? Mm-hmm. He was supposed to fight Joe Smith Jr., right? And right. then something happened. He somehow managed to get kicked off DAZN, which DAZN has actually left me 3 voicemails for a contract, and I haven't boxed in ever. So this is Mr. Beterbiev, a.k.a. Better Beast, as I coined you. You got one more shot, bro, or else you're getting kicked off the smoke squad. And... yeah. Pat, you may laugh, but the smoke squad is full of fighters who are champions. And so, Beterbiev, when you listen to this, because I know you're going to listen to this, either knock, do something with Yvonne Michel, or get a real fight, bro. Fight Kovalev. You beat him twice in the amateurs. You can beat him again. Do it. That's all I got.
Thanks.
Gotcha, man. And, yeah, unless anybody got anything to add, we can go ahead and segue to the Sean Porter and the Ugas fight that I'm personally anticipating this upcoming weekend.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Go ahead, man. Segue away.
Definitely. Like I said, since we're there, this is one of the fights that when it was announced, it didn't get as much fanfare as the other ones, though. But, I mean, I personally think it has the potential to be solid. Before y'all go, I'll just say my prediction. I do think, you know what, I'm going with the upset. I'm sorry, dog. I'm just going to go ahead. I've been kind of hyping it up on the low, but, you know, I just want to see an upset. I like Sean Porter, nice guy. Think he's going to make an excellent commentator once his fighting days are over. But, I mean, Ugas just got that journey, man. And a lot of journeymen, but nah, I wouldn't call him a journeyman, but you know, we've been seeing a lot of upsets recently, and I'm gonna go ahead and go with this one, man. I think Ugas will win it on points. I just want to go ahead and swing it around and see what you guys think.
Hold up, Golden Voice. I gotta ask you, what about Ugas makes you think that he can beat Porter? And I don't say that like it's something that's unattainable, but what about him stands out to you? Pause.
Personally, I really can't say it all. I think it's just an itch in me, man. I do think, like I said, if it just wasn't the fact that I'm going out on a limb and probably going against the grain, I would pick Porter. But I just, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit biased. you guys been showing us some love on the Ringside Rave, man. So,
Shout out to your Mr. Ugas.
Not only that, I'm not downplaying his boxing skills. I do think he got the skills to beat Porter, so I'm gonna go ahead and go with that. It's just as usual, as we know with Porter, you know, you gotta be able to man up against the pressure that he's gonna apply. Try to give him the box. He did show some boxing skills last time we saw him against Garcia, and I think he's probably gonna have to do that again. So that may give Ugas a little bit of some faint hope there.
Right. I mean, in terms of for Ugas, one thing that he does do in fights, he does fade late in the fights. He did it in this fight against Barrio Nuevo, and he really did it against Thomas Delorme because he almost lost to him. And that's the thing. He can't afford to lose to fade late against Porter. If he does that, because, you know, Porter can go 12 rounds hard, pause, you know, and it's like, Yeah, I mean, Ugas has to make sure that his tank is where it needs to be. You know, else Porter is just going to maul him like something crazy. He's going to be headbutts galore. Headbutts, a whole bunch of dirty shit on the ropes. You know, well, so, while Porter has a smile on his face.
I think that no matter what, Porter and Ugas is going to be a dirty-ass fight because right. they both have history of headbutts. But I see what Mal is saying because if you look back at Porter's loss to Kell Brook, like, what did Kell Brook do to him? He did 1-2 clinch or he did 1-2 check hook, right? And those are both things that Ugas is capable of doing with a good amount of success. He's got a good left hook. He's from Cuba, so he knows how to box. So I could see the upset potential being there. All that being said, Sean Porter won the WBC title off Danny Garcia, and I'm pretty sure that I scored that 8-4, and he pretty thoroughly outboxed Danny Garcia. So I think that Sean Porter has actually got to that next level, and I think that he's going to beat Ugas 8-4. I think there could be a knockdown either way.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Porter will actually score the knockdown on Ugas. I just have that feeling. Porter is a pretty durable guy. I mean, he's only been down once.
Yep.
Man, I have Sean Porter dishing out punishment that Ugas has never received before in the boxing ring. Like, all we see Ugas, yes, he throws a lot of punches, but that plays into Sean Porter. I don't know him to have that power to back up Sean Porter. Sean Porter that's already went through a Danny Garcia and a Keith Thurman. A Sean Porter that was, what, one judge, maybe a judge away from getting the championship from Keith Thurman?
So that's,
Sean Porter could realistically be the guy walking around right now with victories over both Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, and Adrian Broner at welterweight. He could be the man at welterweight. That easy. News. I don't see a Ugas stopping that train anytime soon, especially with the way that they are, their focus. Shout out to Sean Porter. He come here. If he come here, I hope he's coming here this fight week because his barber is my barber, so I can get a little scoop because I don't have to be anywhere on Wednesday. However, listen, man, I can't see Ugas. I like Ugas. Shout out to him supporting the movement. But it's a different thing when you're in that ring, man. And I just can't see Sean Porter being denied by Ugas. It's a great story. It's a great story. But great stories don't win in boxing. Only in the movies.
Yeah.
And so all I see is Sean. Like, Ugas hasn't even fought a fighter on the level of a Sean Porter.
Not even close.
So I think it's going to be like a just going to be levels. I think Sean Porter's going to – I don't think he's going to be able to do, you know, the boxing like he was doing Danny Garcia. He's not going to be able to do that at all. But Ugas isn't that type of fighter. Huh?
What?
Because Danny Garcia has struggled boxing, so yeah, I mean,
he's not going to be able to do that.
I'm not going front. I went back and watched the fight with Garcia, and I mean, I actually had it kind of closer than the judges. I kind of had it like 7-5, to be honest with you, though. When I went back and watched it, I was like, Porter looked good, but he wasn't. I don't know, man. I thought Garcia won some rounds, and
I didn't think he lost though. But I didn't think he just looked terrible in it.
But I think that was actually one of Porter's best performances. And actually, so speaking of Porter's performances, news, when Porter fought Kell Brook, was he too green for that fight?
Because, when he fought Kell Brook?
Yeah, wait, because he's just
stupid. That's what happened. No,
but hold on, Kel, because just like, what, a year and a half or 2 years later, he was, like you said, he was a judge away from winning belts off Thurman or at least scoring a draw.
I mean, how about this? Sean Porter, we talk about what his resume could be. He already beat Devin Alexander, right? He beat Devin Alexander already. He got a majority loss to Kell Brook.
Chat.
That was a close one. Right,
that was a what? I mean, but the judge that had that shit, a draw should have been shot. Brooke knocked that motherfucker's head off.
What I'm saying, but the scores were still, one was a draw, another one was 116-112. Right, yeah. Somebody else had it.
Yo, it's so.
But what I'm, it's still even then. Kell Brook, that's Kell Brook. Then you have Thurman. Then you have Danny Garcia, right? Then you got Andre Berto. It's like at the end of the day, Sean Porter damn near has the best resume at welterweight.
Ooh.
Like that's very arguable.
Yeah, arguable. Where you actually take out wins and losses, but currently, yeah, yeah.
Again, his loss to Keith Thurman was very close. That's the only thing, because Keith Thurman's the only person standing over him. I mean, unless you want to include Manny Pacquiao, but Keith Thurman's the only person standing in the way of him having the best resume.
Yeah,
and that was a very close fight. And his resume outside of that fight is better than Thurman's.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. Keith Thurman does not want to run that fight back.
Man, you out your damn mind, man.
Let me
rephrase. He does not want to run that back within the next year.
Man, you out your mind, man.
No, so, I mean, one time, once a year, fight one time a year. He had Josecito Lopez. He needs another, like, tune-up-ish opponent before he fights Porter.
He's definitely not gonna get another tune up. He has a belt. He has a mandatory waiting for him.
Who's his man though?
It could be Manny, who has the regular belt, and who's the WBA mandatory right now? Who's number one? Let me go through a quick search.
I've seen Keith Thurman fight Sean Porter type of fight and beat him. No, I don't see what the hell gonna be different in a rematch.
Yo, so. So, if you look at, albeit there's ring rust on there, and the ring rust, unfortunately, for Keith Thurman will never go away because of his elbow issues and his inactivity, right? So, he didn't have the elbow issues before he fought Porter, right? That happened after the Danny Garcia fight. So, I think that if you have Porter with the confidence of a dude who comfortably outboxed Danny Garcia, in my opinion, to a championship. Like, and then you have him in Sonic the Hedgehog mode, and you got Kenny hyping him up, and like maybe he gets someone in there that shows him how to throw his punches straight. I think he could easily overwhelm Thurman.
Yeah.
I mean, without it even being like, that's not even far-fetched to me.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I definitely agree. I ain't trying to say it'd be like 9-3 or something like that. I see, yo, everybody, again, we're live. This is episode 27 of the Fade Hour, man. We actually now are joined by our dude, another of our bandits, Mr. Leon. I'm gonna let him introduce himself and go ahead and jump into this you kind of came in. We were talking about the Porter Ugas fight, and then we kind of just, you know, talked about Porter's resume and things of that nature. So, go ahead and introduce yourself, homie.
What up, y'all? It's Leon with Champside. Yeah, I was just listening to y'all, you know, and I was thinking in the back of my mind, you know, obviously, I think Porter is going to outwork Ugas. Like I said, I don't know if he has the power to keep a Sean Porter off of him, and Sean Porter's been in with, you know, two top five, right? Actually, probably if you go back maybe a year or two, Kell Brook is, you know, in the top five with Danny Garcia and Keith Thurman. So he's fought all these kind of guys. He probably gonna outwork Ugas. But I just want to know what happened to Errol Spence Jr. and Sean Porter being the easiest fight to make.
Oh, boy.
That's what was said. And I'm thinking about it like, man, that would have been – it probably wouldn't have been as big of a fight, but, you know, you could put Porter and Mikey Garcia's spot right now, and we would have took that unification fight to get us one step closer to, you know, maybe a Crawford and a Spence. But I was just thinking about that in the back of my mind, how, you know, how that fight went from, oh, this is the easiest fight that we could make, you know, to, you know.
Well, you know what it
WBC,
is.
WBC, though. It was the mandated. Yes,
mandated. I know it's mandated. But, you know, we always say unification is
Trump. Unification trumps.
Man, listen.
If they wanted to make it shake, they could have made it shake. But they, you know, the business moves. I get it.
Well, there's two sides to every coin, and I don't think either one of them are shook of each other.
No.
I think they're trying to what's it called? Wop it up.
Hey, yeah. I'm sorry. I'll just go ahead and. No, hold on, News. Let me, P, I see you joined us, man. You got any thoughts on all that? You know, actually, go ahead and introduce yourself, too, my man.
What up, y'all? This is your boy, P. You already know, Bodega Boy, Rusty Bodega Boxing, and Ringside Ray. You already know what it is. What y'all was talking about? We're talking about,
you came in, we were talking about Porter and Ugas, and, you know, give us your thoughts on that.
I actually like that fight. Yeah, it's no Porter's fence. But it's a good fight. Ugas is a good fighter. People sleep on him. And I think he's going to have a good fight on Saturday. I think it's going to be a really, really good fight. I'm almost tempted to be a gambling man and put a couple, you know, a little bit on Ugas because he's the betting favorite. But I don't know if I want to be a heathen or not. So I might
drop say a well, hundo. Drop a hundo.
He's a three to one underdog, so I mean I kinda might have to drop something.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know, fans, just stick with us because I actually wanted to get my I actually wanted to get Leon's and P's thoughts on Bivol and Joe Smith. That's what we led off with. And yeah, I just want to get y'all thoughts on, you know, does Smith have enough to make it a competitive fight, or do y'all kind of see it like a one way traffic for Bivol, and you know, just general thoughts on that fight?
I see B-Ball stopping him late.
Mm. I could see that too. I mean, Smith is a puncher, but that's really all he has is a puncher's kid. And I don't see him. I think B-Ball takes him to school and might stop him late. Might stop him in those late rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
See,
the support came in. I said that earlier, fellas. Y'all ain't even hear me saying that. That's exactly what I said.
Yo, Leon, Pete, do you think that Bivol could get rocked or buzzed or dropped in the fight, though?
I mean, of course, anybody can, but it's a possibility, but
not enough to stop him from winning the fight. I mean, I think he's just more just naturally talented than Smith. You know what I mean? Like, I heard News say he got to go to work the next day or some shit. So.
Yeah, they got to work today.
I got to go to work and shit.
He's from a different cloth, man. I don't see Smith.
Joe the Plumber ain't got nothing for you.
Whoa. The construction worker.
Exactly.
we definitely want to put some respect on that job, man. I respect the bread. They make big bread.
Yeah, they do.
Not wrong being a plumber either. I just like to call him Joe the Plumber.
Yo, first of all, shout out to Generic Joe for making like an alternative living off one fight, which is the Andre Fonfara fight and then the Bernard Hopkins fight. So two fights. So shout out to Generic Joe for that, whatever happens.
The way that he finished Bernard Hopkins, man, that's gonna go down forever.
I give up. Nobody expected him to do what he did with Fofara, and then especially me, because I know people, you know, because he's from New York. I know people that go to that work in the same gym as he does, including my coworker who used to box. He tells me that people in the gym used to beat the shit out of him in sparring. So they laugh when now that he was, you know, that he did what he did with for Hopkins.
Right.
Nobody ever thought that guy would take out Hopkins.
I know. Right. You know who was who probably was the happiest man in the world that night that Hopkins took that L to Joe Smith?
Kelly Pavlik, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Ohio player.
The original.
Alcoholic slayer.
Hey.
That's Youngstown's own, man. Kelly Pavlik from... So if y'all come here one time, real talk, I'm from Cleveland. You know what I mean? And everything I always say is about Cleveland. But Youngstown is like... Cleveland, I want to say like an hour, maybe an hour and a half outside of Cleveland. It's real bad there, for real. So, yo, but it's a different bad because it's like it's not urban bad.
It's crack.
Hey. That's only way I can say it.
Gotcha. Hey,
uncivilized.
Hey, since we got everybody on the line, I know I just want to get everybody. I just want to go around the table right quick and get everybody's final thoughts on the main event that we saw Saturday night.
All right, I'll go first. It's gonna be real quick. Luis Ortiz, what the fuck? Brian Castano, good job. Arizlandi Lara, retire.
Hold up.
And I want to say one thing about Arizlandi Lara. Dan Raphael, aka the boxing Dan from ESPN, he put out an article today, and the tweet that he had associated with it was mad disrespectful to Lara. So, Dan, if you ever do get a chance to listen, keep that same energy when you're interviewing the fighters. And that's all.
Man.
All right, Pete. What you about to say, Pete?
First of all, fuck Dan Raphael. We shouldn't even give him the attention. Like, I hate that he's the so-called, you know, the boxing media guy. You know, all that fat tub of lard, all he does is fucking go to the press conferences and eat. He probably eats more pizza than Raphael the Ninja Turtle. Fuck out.
Tell him why you're mad, Pete.
Eddie blocks me, but fuck him. All right. That Ortiz fight, my God, that was an eyesore to watch. I mean, and Ortiz was hurt. That was the crazy part. Like, Hammer has that stuff. Like, if you can't call yourself, you know, boogeyman, everybody's afraid of you, and then you go and get dropped by fucking Hammer.
Christina Hammer.
Hammer had Ortiz trying to drop it like it was hot. Right. And by
Pause.
What I mean is, because his glove, when he got knocked down, his glove definitely touched the canvas.
It dropped like this, straight drop. It was
on the concrete.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how the ref missed that. He didn't miss it.
That fight was an Ortiz win before the bell rang.
As for the main event, here's the one thing I will say. It's always so funny because his whole career we talked about how Laura is a snore to watch and how boring he is. But now, at the end of his career, at the tail end of his career, he's putting more and more exciting fights than what they were used to seeing from him. And honestly, it's because his legs aren't as good as they used to be. Now he has to actually stand there and trade more. He can't use the angles that he used to do.
Right.
He can go through and move. The thing is, he's still accurate and he still has pop. So he's still game. I think he can still fight, but he's going to get like, I wouldn't put him against Hurd again. Hurd will finish him this time.
How did you score it though?
I scored it 115 to 113 to Lara, but I could have seen it the other way around, and I had no problem with a judge. There were too many, like and even Paulie said it, there were too many, like, flip rounds where it was, like, where more of which, you know, what type of style do you prefer, but you could have given it to either of them. So, like, my scorecard, I had to struggle, like, after every round, like, okay, who was, like, it was hard. So I could see it going either way. I have no problem with a draw. I have no problem with either guy, you know, winning.
Leon, was it more of what Castano was doing, or do you think Laura slipped?
I'm a pass on this one because I ain't even watched it.
Oh, man. We live streamed it. But, I don't even remember the fight.
I think with Castano, there was times where he wasn't, first of all, after the sixth round, he wasn't pressing until like the last two rounds, that sixth through tenth round, he wasn't like pressing him as much as he should have. He was just following him around a little bit, not really throwing off shots. Meanwhile, Lara is in the pocket actually hitting him with accurate shots and with pop. And, like, you know, Kasane would have his little work here and there, but nothing really affected. It wasn't until, you know, until the last two rounds where he started stepping on the gas. Now he's hitting them and pressuring him and hitting with an effective punch. I think those, that 6 to 10 rounds from that round 6 or 10 for me is what gave Lara the fight to me. Cause I think I gave him like 3 of the 4 rounds. I think all 4, I think 6 or 10, I meant, or 7 through 10, I might've given to Lara.
Gotcha. Hey, Pat, how you felt about it? What's your final thoughts, man? I know you was with us as well, so but I just want to get your last thought with it. Yeah.
I was shitting on the Ortiz Hammer fight, you know, because it was prior to being announced. The fight obviously didn't go the way I expected. Ortiz looked bad. I mean, he got legit, and he got knocked down, and he was leaking from his nose and his mouth. And it was funny too because he busted Hammer's nose, and then Hammer returned the favor. I was like, what the fuck is this? Ortiz was out here, you know, struggling. So I don't know if age is starting to creep, is really starting to catch up on him, or maybe he overtrained because he was pretty light on that in the
ring. Yeah, right. He was all right.
You know, and but that's not the type of fight, I mean, you should have. I mean, and this was like his third showcase fight. So, I mean, I think Heyman needs to put him in with a live dog before our showcase fighter upsets him.
The Hammer fight, I think, actually opened Ortiz's door to get more fights.
Yep.
Because of the struggle, because he is an R. Kelly 37, which is I'm not gonna say anything crazy, which is a normal human's 52. So he's a little bit older than, you know, paper.
That's that weed head math right there.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't know how he, you know what, news. Yeah. Let me ask you something, because before we went, you about to say something, P?
No, I was going to say that, like, Ortiz is, I mean, I don't know how, I'm a big baseball fan, so I don't know how much you guys are into sales, or, you know, in the history of baseball like that, especially 90s baseball. But to me, it's funny, because Ortiz is like the boxing version of El Duque, who is Orlando. Nice.
The Efres pitch.
Shout out to El Duque for helping the White Sox win their one and only World Series. Shout out Chicago. That's my team.
I thought you was going to call him Andres Galarragas at first, bro.
No. I said El Duque because El Duque is another Cuban
who came in
advertised as 25, but he was really like 42.
Exactly.
Him and his brother.
I do think that actually it does open up fights, because unfortunately that's always how it is in boxing. People wait until you look vulnerable to want to fight you. Like, and I mean, we saw him get knocked out, yeah, but that's against Wilder, you know, one of the top heavyweights, if not the top heavyweight. For him to look vulnerable against a random jobber, that's going to make people open eyes. It's always. You know, when you start looking more vulnerable, people are going to come to you. I guarantee you, in 2 weeks, if Mikey shows anything against Spence, people are going to jump to fight.
That's 100% true. 2 weeks. That's another story. 2 weeks.
Hey, news in the chat before we went live, you was mentioning something about numbers.
Oh, the numbers. Oh, that's because. So Pat was talking about the numbers. The numbers for the Lara fight.
Were they good numbers?
No, they were not good numbers.
If one of your people at the place that you work gave those numbers to you, what would you tell them?
What were the numbers again?
The numbers were
man, they didn't even go old school gold, man.
Nah,
they didn't even hit 500K.
Bro.
I mean, he hit 539K, but the average around 487K.
And then
For Lara, that's okay. You know what I'm saying?
No, nobody on the card spoke English.
Yo,
exactly.
Here's the thing. My man Leon Champside, who just spoke, has done hundreds of thousands of views, and he just a normal dude like us. So, Showtime, what are you doing?
I mean,
487K?
What's the most large ever draw? I think like 600K?
No, so it's like 785.
My dude doing 28-0 numbers, man.
That's still not like a lot. Like, it's not that much further off. Like,
they went live on Showtime.
We're not expecting to see like big numbers. It's like the difference between Jay-Z going gold and Brand New being going gold.
That's the point though, because at the end of the day, stop putting these C-list stars on my main event TV time.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
I'm tired of people like Lara getting main event television time. He should not be a main event fighter.
When we're talking
about these people, I mean, if we're going to talk about views, then you have to market to the people, and they've shown you over and over and over again they don't want to see Arizlandi Lara. Stop forcing them in main events. He's not a main event fighter.
And Leon said it best too. Like, nobody on the card spoke English. I hate to say it, but that does play a part into it too, man.
I mean, people have to start using common sense, man. I mean, if a guy is not a draw, in any other industry, if a guy is not selling albums, he's not going to headline his own world tour.
He's not about to be stadium status. Hell no.
Why is Lara main eventing Showtime?
Well, so I'm going to say this. If Lara didn't main event against Jarrett Hurd would not be the star that he is, or budding star, or what the fuck ever that he is today. And I get what you're saying. Now that he doesn't have a belt, Lara should be a co-main. Because Lara Castano, that's a great co-main fight. As a main event, though?
No.
In Brooklyn?
These cards need to be back bundled up.
My dog is 28. He's 28.
Put Arizlandi Lara back where he deserves to be in the opening card. So I'm tired of these cards being broken up. Because this is basically like, it's okay to separate it and sell you pieces of something. Put a full card together. Arizlandi Lara has never been a main event fighter. Nobody ever comes like, damn, Lara's fighting this weekend. Nobody cares. This sounds like, as usual,
PBC Showtime issue.
It's, why would you put an Arizlandi Lara versus Brian Castano fight as a main event fight on Showtime?
They didn't even have no competition.
Right.
On the Saturday.
Right. It's telling you, the people are telling you, we don't want to see that shit. Turn it off my TV.
He's got to fight sometime, and you can't just fight.
Yeah, you can fight on somebody's card. You can fight on somebody's
box.
Is the Porter and Ugas fight on Fox?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say this. PBC, let's tell you to stop pushing bullshit cards and return to Premier Boxing Championship.
Man, whatever, man. Aren't they about to have Ghost Guerrero on our TV this weekend?
I like that. Pushing bullshit cards. I like that one.
Yeah, no. Fuck that.
Isn't Robert Guerrero going to be on our TV this weekend?
There is too much good boxing with the roster that they have for them to be pushing bullshit cards. So instead of calling them Premier Boxing Championships, because I don't see boxing championships like real shit going down on that unless I got to pay $25 to go to the theater. So fuck all that noise. PBC, stop pushing bullshit cards.
Right, because we've seen many times back in the real golden days of boxing that we call of our era, which is the 90s. We like the 80s is for a lot of people, but we were able to see, know what we were looking at the whole time in the 90s, right? We didn't see people like
Charles
Darnbe Mitchell main eventing every damn weekend. Why am I seeing Arizlandi Lara main eventing And Sharmay Mitchell had more fans than him.
Yo, so
come on, man. This will make sense.
I didn't come up in this particular era, but I seen it. Shout out to YouTube. But Don King had dudes like Julian Williams on undercards.
Right.
I mean, think about the Hawk being on the undercard.
You mean Julian Jackson.
Julian Jackson.
Julian Jackson. I was like, huh? Who?
Man, we faded, yo, man. I said, right. I agree with him. We on the same way.
Holla at the Pink Lemonade if you got any problem with that. But we're talking about the Hawk, Julian Jackson, or whatever the fuck his nickname is. Imagine him being on an undercard today. Right? Could you?
No, I couldn't. But he was in the 90s.
Nobody would be.
Yeah, right. He was like the second fight on Don King's card.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
But I don't know. Basically, when it comes to numbers and everything, like, so where is DAZN at on this pecking order?
They don't count. That's what I was trying to say, too. They got a shield that they get to hide behind, because what are DAZN numbers? What is ESPN Plus's numbers? Like, we don't know what the fighters draw. There's no way for us to tell that. True. And then are we supposed to look at their subscribers? So should we look at subscribers a month before the fight and then a month after or something? Like, how do you even measure what they do on DAZN? So any fighter on there, I don't even count them as their ratings or views, because you can't. There's no way.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, I do not say with the streaming. It's like the streaming channels, like streaming services. Like, there's no baseline for what it is. I mean, pretty much the baseline is: are they what type of fights are they offering? You know, this year, and then you go from there. Like, I mean, obviously, like Canelo and Fielding so far is probably the biggest thing.
I was just about to say that.
And the fight that had the most attention. And I'm sure it probably sold, but it probably had views, but we don't know how many people were actually watching it on the stream. Because like I said, there's no established baseline for what's good or what's bad for streaming services yet, since neither of the services will release any information. So, I mean, yeah, news is right about that.
Leon?
I mean, Terrence Crawford had the most views with Benavidez last year on ESPN. We could see those numbers. We can't see the streaming numbers. And PBC, I mean, as far as on Showtime, I mean, in hindsight, like I said before, it's clear that they moved all the guys over to Fox already. So
right.
They must see the writing on the wall, because they got all the welterweight champions fighting on Fox. And that was supposed to be PBC's, like, They group, you know, they had good welterweights. They got Keith Thurman with a belt, Sean Porter, Errol Spence, and they all fighting on Fox. So, I mean, we only seen Gervonta Davis and probably see Wilder fight on Showtime. But other than that, it seemed like PBC already moved to Fox. So as long as Fox and ESPN keep delivering and DAZN can get some bigger fights, I mean, we in business.
Yeah, the shit, PBC... Yeah, I remember when they had NBC when they first came out, and then they had CBS, and now they the Fox. So I hope
they had Spike too. And the Spike, Spike was the best incarnation of PBC. I mean,
I don't know, bro. I like the NBC. We had the intro and all that, the ring intro and all that. But go ahead.
They called that shit out, and I don't know why they did that. I mean, they didn't even do it at the live events, either.
Right?
I mean, that used to sound like epic, like some Batman, Batman movie entrance.
NBC?
Yeah, remember when they first started on NBC and they had the intros and all that?
That's NBC. Come on, everybody, like, NBC always has, like, ill intros, or has some type of intro.
Yeah, you're right.
Everybody knows the NBC, NBA on NBC theme song, like,
yes, in your sir. But you know, we about to see the first Fox pay-per-view, so they've been doing a good job with the promo and the camp shit and all that other stuff. So
right.
We're gonna see what it's looking like.
Ooh, I can't
Gary Jones,
wait.
Baby, big money.
I cannot wait to talk about that fight.
For Fox pay-per-view, to remember, you can see this fight in the goddamn theater. Go to fastlifters.com. Because that's where I'm going to say.
Man, I'm going to be at home, man. I'm going to have the boat full. I'm going to have the drinks flowing.
Hey, let me ask y'all that news. You be the first one I ask this. The build-up to the Mikey Garcia and Spence fight. How would you grade that?
Uh-oh.
What? Listen,
how would you grade the build-up to the fight?
I don't know. I heard you. I'm saying what? Because I can't even believe you asking me.
I'm talking about the build-up to it. How do you think they've been? How do you think the marketing and the build-up to the fight? How would you grade that so far?
It's been perfect. How else can you market that big guy versus small guy? There's no way, especially the dominant force like Errol Spence. They're marketing it like Mikey actually is going to do something, and people actually believe in it. People actually believe in it. So they're marketing it perfect.
Waiting on that line to drop.
Come on, man. Wait till Sunday. Wait till Sunday. I'm going to let Sean Porter. I ain't said nothing about the fight. I was going in a couple months ago. I calmed all the way down. Sunday. Suspense's day.
I apologize for cutting you off, but this is a news or a smoke thing. And I would say that they are doing an A+ version of promoting the fight that will actually be 60-40 in Errol Spence's favor. It's on record. I just said that in Errol Spence's favor. So let me tell you guys, where I work, we have a branch in Dallas, right? So I asked my people in Dallas, I'm like, hey, have you guys heard about this? What's going on? And they say, oh, yeah, it's like a huge thing here. And so I think that PBC on Fox or whatever they're called is doing a very good job of marketing the fight, because people that aren't even casuals, just like random people that's like, oh, I turn on my TV on the day, like, they know about the fight. So
they're doing a very good job of promoting this fight, even though, like, I know most hardcore fans when they first heard this were like, ugh. Big guy versus little guy. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah, and then most people adapted.
I was cool with it from jump, because honestly, I'm cool with it because I'm like this kind of reminds me of, and because I grew up, I grew up watching wrestling. So this kind of reminds me of, when I was young and my mom would order me all the pay-per-views and I was watching Diesel versus Shawn Michaels.
Speaking of wrestling, rest in peace, King Kong Bundy.
Rest in peace, King Kong Bundy, man.
I'm used to the big guy, little guy thing in that sense of promoting that. So I was all the way okay with it.
This going to be a good fight to bet on, because you could bet the knockout or you could bet Mikey by decision, and don't bet right now. Wait till after the weigh-in, because once Mikey weigh in, if he's in any kind of condition, people are gonna start putting more money on Mikey, and the line is gonna drop. And if you want something on Spence, that's the time to do it after the weigh-in.
My dog dropping that Vegas knowledge.
Right? I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying, if you're gonna drop on Spence, he's way up right now, so it don't even make sense. But usually that's what happens. After the underdog weighs in, if they in shape and they hold their own at the weigh-in and the face-off, people start dropping money on the underdog. If you want Spence, that's the time to get it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to
be speaking, like I said, until the fight week, which is next Monday.
Yeah, because I was about to get into the fight, but I was like, nah, let me wait.
Yeah, I can't even do it.
But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, it ain't going to be nothing to say. There ain't nothing to say. I'm just going to sit back and
park
my trash. I'm going
to park that, But just to get on a serious topic before we wrap up this episode 27. Everything's alleged. We don't know. We're not going to say if it's happened or not, but I think everybody have seen the news on Tank Davis.
Check my head.
Not touching on it.
That right.
I'm gonna pause.
Yeah.
But
yeah, go ahead and
address that shit like someone's street.
Yeah, so basically TMZ saying that Tank was at a mall in Virginia, right? February 17th, and he supposedly got into it with somebody at an ATM. And then they say that Tank assaulted the dude, and when the officers arrived at the scene to investigate, they said that Davis used derogatory and offensive language at the officers in the public setting. And then one dude, some witness, says that he's seen Tank push one of the officers while screaming obscenities while his friends was desperately trying to restrain him. So the cops say they did an investigation, so they issue a warrant for him on a misdemeanor count of assault, right? I listened to that, and as when I heard that and I read that, I'm like, come on, man. Really? So, okay, I'm not saying, because we know Tank is that dude, you know what I'm saying? Tank is that dude, but Tank, I don't know if he's that noticeable where you don't know he's not, where you don't think that he's just a regular black dude first. And you're saying that he's pushing and screaming at the cops and stuff like this and causing the scene, and he didn't even get arrested? He just went home?
That was still
in the mall? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I can imagine that happening. I don't know.
When I heard about it at first and it was altercation at an ATM, I just thought it was some stupid motherfucker that saw like some 5'3" dude and tried to rob him, and turned out it was Tank and the other guy was like in a coma or something. But the other dude didn't come back to press charges for, you know, multiple weeks or something like that. So I don't know. It sounds fishy. But all that being said, I mean, it seems like Tank Davis does seem to run into bullshit all the time.
Man, Tank
way or another, and
we don't even know if this is true. So I'm not going to run
allegedly.
With it.
Nah, I ain't going to speak on it.
I'm not going to touch on this.
No. Wow.
Someone needs to introduce Tank to Islam. That's what I need to say.
Listen, Islam. Man, listen, man. If anybody in the world got the audacity to approach a boxer, let alone somebody like Tank, you get what you get, bro. I mean, you can go to the police and all that, but as a man, I'm not saying Tank did anything or didn't do anything. But at the end of the day, if you approach any boxer in any type of way, threatening them or even doing that, you deserve what you get. I mean, it is what it is. You approach me on that, it's going to be a similar situation. Like, you approach anybody, you shouldn't go there with a boxer, you know what I'm saying? Especially not with a boxer. Why would you throw hands with a boxer? That don't make sense.
Because idiots still believe that they can get money, and they still believe that myth of, boxers have registered hands, which is not true.
Nah, man. Most boxers be trying to mind their own business, man. They really, really regular people. Because all the thing that separates them from us is the fact that they actually got hands and they use them for a living.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. They regular ass people. So it's like people running up on them like that. It's like they ain't got media training. They don't got that, all that PR. Like, so at the end of the day, whatever may happen or may not have happened, that's for them to decide. But like, even for any situation, I never blame a boxer, because it's like, man, people be running up on these celebrities. On some, I'm tough type shit to them.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? So,
didn't T.I. try to bring the drama to Floyd?
Man, that's a whole
man. Well, that was a little different situation because that man a married man, man, a married man to go through fire over his wife, and he may not even want to. You know what I'm saying? It may not be the fact, it's just that he wanted to get the news, the fact that you disrespected my marriage.
Oh, Floyd was throwing shade at his wife?
Man.
No, they just got to stay in the situation.
He was fucking that Miss Piggy girl.
I thought they said Floyd gave T.I. a black eye, though.
I don't know, man.
I mean, if T.I. left, if T.I. threw hands with Floyd and left with anything like.
No, he didn't have a black eye because he showed a video afterwards. I know he didn't have a black eye, but he cut his hand. I don't know what happened with there, but I remember that.
If T.I. didn't get, like, badly injured and tried to, like, fight Floyd that wasn't wearing gloves, like, salute to T.I. for making out of that alive.
Like, this is, like, the second time we've heard, like, some rumor of some rapper fighting, because first it was 50 Foot Floyd. I remember hearing the story about how him was 50 Foot, and then they said that he hit 50 so hard that he went deaf for a bit.
I could believe that.
I'll say that even in that situation, Floyd lucky that it was T.I. rather than Tip. You know what I'm saying? Before he went in there and did the jail time, came back out reformed before he had to do that, because it might have been a little different situation. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if Floyd would have been able to acquit. You know what I'm saying? He got money, but it's a difference between being a hood dude and a street dude.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Just because you're finally living on the street. Hey, that's all I gotta say about that. Tip was different. T.I.
Shout out to the rubber band. T.I. get that money.
But Tip, T.I.P.
Wild as the Taliban.
Definitely. I know Floyd wouldn't have.
But yeah, man, I think that's a nice. See, there he go. But no, man. I think that's a good stopping point, man. Again, I want to thank y'all for joining us for this live episode. We're definitely going to try to get at y'all live again, you know, throughout this week and more than likely Saturday night for the fight. But news, you know, I guess everybody, you know, if yeah, everybody have final thoughts like we normally do, you can speak on it. If not, news, you know, go ahead and. Go home. Take us home.
I might have to actually now go to that fucking Crawford fight because Tail Fimo and Shakur are going to be there. So I think you're going to see me at MSG that day on April 20th.
Probably see me there too.
That's a good card.
Yep.
It's actually a good card. You know, I always say I like A-sides. Like, you got to be a real star. Like, Terrence Crawford fighting at the MSG. You know what I'm saying? That's great. Then you got Shakur. You got Teofimo. Ain't that New York, New Jersey? You know what I'm saying? In that building.
Isn't there a young cat named Felix Verdejo on that card?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Is he new to the game, Pete? Thing of boxing? Man. Is he new on the scene?
Fuck you.
I forgot about him, man, for real. Didn't we used to be talking about him and Robert Easter or something? I can't even remember.
Yeah, like, I remember. Can't. Yo, shout out to our boy Chalk from The Ring. I remember there was an article that someone posted that Felix Verdejo would do 24 rounds of hitting the pads and, like, want to do more. And then didn't he, like, fall down in the shower or some shit?
Yeah, he was shadow boxing in the shower.
My bad. Motorcycle accident. So
That too.
Yeah. So shout out to Felix Verdejo for making it back from shower mishaps and motorcycle mishaps and fighting on 420.
He letting Puerto Rico down. When he's supposed to be the next pride of Puerto Rico, when he's supposed to be the new Miguel Cotto, he was trying to crown, now he's coming back to memory. Yeah,
they was calling
now I remember
was
all that talk about him.
To be
yeah, the they're next, calling him the new Trinidad.
Come
Tito,
on.
Tito, not
that's
Cotto,
disrespectful to Tito's name.
Not didn't Cotto, he had that stroke? He had that struggle fight on the Lundy Crawford undercard, and then everybody was like, wait a minute.
Yo, the struggle fight. Ray J showed up. He was like, wait a minute. I've been working all day. What the fuck is this fight?
Yeah, they. Oh yeah, I remember even Bob Arum was like, he ain't ready for a title shot.
Yeah, we don't
never hear Bob Arum was... say somebody ain't ready for a championship. he make up belts for you. Got the whole WBO. He ain't even want them for the WBO.
Yo, shout out to the WBA Rainbow Belt. It's not here yet, but it's coming. Y'all know it is. They got a super double champion now, I think.
The Rainbow Belt. He said, "I'm weak."
But no, man, we definitely got to show up tomorrow, y'all. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so that should be the workout tomorrow for Sean Porter and Ugas. So we could talk about that. Probably a little bit more stuff's gonna happen in boxing. Y'all know how that always is. And I'd like to thank all y'all for coming through, like y'all always do. Shout out to Bodega Boxing, Champ Side, Free Smoke Boxing, Bruising Boxing, Ring Gang Radio. That's my boy P, Leon, Smoke, Maul, Pat. That's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. I appreciate y'all for tuning in for another show with us. We'll see y'all tomorrow. We out.
How? Yeah. One.